our special Veterans Week programming continues with another one of our veterans interviews. And this interview is brought to you in part by Ringtel Communications, along with Southern Archery, by Stateline Cooperative, along with Simmons Accounting and Tax Service, by Esterville VFW, along with the Bloom Leonard Agency, by Esterville Hotel and Suites, and by Henry Olson Funeral Homes. We are so pleased to have with us right now Mayrose 80. Good morning, Mayrose. How are you today?
Good.
All right. Well, I just asked you where you grew up, and you grew up just north of the airport.
Right.
In Esterville. And except for your time gone at World War II, you've been in Esterville your whole life.
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. So tell me, how did it come to be that you would go into World War II into service?
Well, it was kind of weird. I went to Des Moines and played basketball to start with, and that's when the first WACs were down in Des Moines, and I would see them. But then I came home, and another friend and I were going to go in the service, and she changed her mind. So I decided to go ahead and enlist after all.
Okay. So you went ahead and enlisted. Now, just out of curiosity, why were you down in Des Moines playing basketball? And what year would have that been?
In 43 or 44.
Okay.
I had a scholarship to go down for with AIB.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
To play basketball.
Right.
So you could hoop it up.
Yeah, I guess.
Good for you. All right. So you decided to enlist. Walk me through those steps. What happened?
Well, you just got on the bus and went down to Des Moines. You got out there to the camp, and everybody lined up, and you got shots just all in a row and that. And then you got your places. You had to get your bunks and all this. It was just big old long buildings. Now it isn't then. It isn't like it is now.
Now, was it men and women, or what? Was this just
women?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you didn't want to get to do some things. If you got, they called them gigs, if you had hair on your shoulder or something, you'd get a gig, and you'd get so many, and then you'd have to work KP.
So you didn't want to get gigs?
Oh, no, because they didn't have the stainless steel pans and stuff like they have now. They had these big old bread pans, and you'd get them washed, and they'd rust before they'd get dry, and then you'd have to wash them over again.
Wow.
And then one night, why, I had to go out on so-called guard duty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you went out for that. You had a flashlight and a pencil and a pad and walked around out there in the dark by yourself.
Flashlight, pencil, and a pad on guard duty.
Yeah. You had to walk around and around. You could hear dogs barking, but you couldn't see anything else in that. It was mighty dark.
Now, where was this at?
Still down Fort Des Moines.
Okay. So that was basic.
Yeah.
That was basic training.
Right.
Okay. So I want to find out more about these gigs. Okay. So if you had, like, hair touching your shoulders, that was a gig.
Yeah, your collar. That, yeah.
That was a bad thing.
Yeah.
That was a, like, a check mark against you.
Yeah.
What would have other gigs been?
Well, if you didn't have all your clothes buttoned and hanging in the right directions, or your socks rolled up right in your foot locker, or any little thing.
Okay. And so once you got enough gigs, then they'd put you on KP duty.
Yeah.
For how long?
Well, just for the day or something, okay. You'd get stuck with that.
Okay. So tell me, once basic training, how hard was basic training?
Well, it was kind of hard because you had to do this and do that and change your clothes. button them all up, and then change them to do something else. And every time you turned around while you was changing clothes or lacing your shoes or boots up, they had to be perfect or you could get a gig for something like that.
So once basic training was done, then where did you go?
Well, we got on a troop train and went to straight to Colorado Springs.
Okay, and then what happened there?
Well, we got assigned to our barracks and that. There was big old long barracks with coal stoves in them and just bunks, and then you had the same thing. But it was a nice place to go.
Colorado Springs?
Yes.
Okay. And then where did you go from there?
That was it,
Colorado Springs. So how long did you serve in Colorado Springs then?
For a year then.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I want to get to what you did in Colorado Springs, but when you decided to enlist, what did your family think about that?
They didn't think anything of it because I already had one brother in. He was in Germany. And there wasn't anything at home to do, really, except we lived on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing. I knew what rats were on the farm. But I got down, I went back to Fort Des Moines here. I found out what another rat was. It was a thing, you got a big long thing and that you put around your head and stuck your hair in so it wasn't touching your collar. That was a rat.
That was called a rat.
Yes.
I'll be. Okay, so take me back to Colorado Springs. So what was your primary duty then in Colorado Springs for that year for the Air Force?
Well, we were stationed right in this compound, you might say, because it wasn't out fenced in like the airfields and everything were. And we just had these buildings, and then you had to go from office to office taking different memos or everything up to the different offices.
Okay.
And the war room was a top floor of the building.
Okay.
And then they had a motor pool there also. Well, they didn't have like you got now, but they had these motor scooters, so if you had something that they needed, why you'd have to get on the motor scooter and take it over to the motor pool.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the same thing of checking these in and out boxes and getting the right place and that all the time.
So how many people were at that base in Colorado Springs?
Oh, I wouldn't have any idea.
Not a guess?
No.
Thousands?
No. Because
hundreds?
Not at... Well, probably 100 or less, because
okay,
it was just offices, more or less, and everything.
Okay.
That took care of the business and then have to get it. You couldn't holler over the internet or anything or tell them anything and that. You had to take it to their offices and that, and then take from their office where they had to send it to.
So how much news were you getting about what was going on in the war?
Nothing.
Not a drop?
No. We found out that President Roosevelt died because they had like a small billboard that said that he had died. And that was in May of 45, I'm sure.
And that was the only way you found that out?
Yes, because we never had anything.
What about then, okay, during that year, what about any contact back home with your family?
Well, that was one thing. You could write home all the time and you had free postage.
Oh, you could write a letter?
Yeah.
Okay, and they could write you back?
Yeah.
Okay, so I bet those mail calls, people look forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Did they send care packages?
No.
No, just letters?
Yep.
Care packages weren't a thing then?
Well, nobody at home had anything.
So what was there to send?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because when I went in, that was the most money I'd ever seen in my life.
What? What was the most money?
$50 a month.
Oh, what the Air Force was paying you?
Yes.
$50 a month. So most money you had ever seen.
Oh, yeah, because, well, it was back then, no one had any money, really.
Right.
So every time I got a chance, well, I'd send money home to my folks and that.
Unbelievable. So did you spend much?
No. Well, there wasn't really much we spent out there.
Right.
Because you more or less stayed on the base during the week, or the compound, you might say. And then on Saturday and Sunday, why, if you wanted to go someplace, you walked and went up in the mountains and seen all these different things.
All right, now I have to get going here, but so tell me about the trip home then once you were discharged.
Well, it just came home and went back on the farm with my folks, just like...
Just like you were never gone.
Yeah.
Were things any better when you got home financially?
Oh, a little bit, yes.
A little bit. Things were starting to get a little bit better.
But, I mean, nobody had much of anything back then at all.
Right. Now, listen, when and I always ask this of veterans, like yesterday for Veterans Day, for people that weren't in the service, what's the best way to honor veterans, do you think?
Well, just say thank you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that. But then there, I have an interesting story about out at Camp Carson.
Okay.
They had German war prisoners there. And at 5 o'clock every day, they would line up, and they had all these black uniforms on and the black caps on, whether they'd been out on work detail or what, but they was all lined up there. And my brother was there in the hospital, so I'd go out and see him, and all those soldiers out there wanted was somebody to talk to or play cards, because they would just be in big wards. They wouldn't have any special rooms or anything for them. I mean, so much different than what it is today for the treatment they can get.
Yeah.
And stuff, but
they just wanted a visitor.
Yeah, just somebody to talk to, or never would tell how they got hurt. I never heard one of them say how they'd gotten hurt. My brother was injured in Germany. We never did find out how he got injured. He never talked about it.
Wow, that is incredible.
Just many things like that a person can remember and that, so...
Wow. I can't imagine the burden some have carried. Well, May Rose, we thank you for your service. We thank you so much for coming in and telling your story. Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much. And thanks for all you've done for Esterville.
Yes, I've been here a mighty long time.
Yes, that's awesome. May Rose, 80, World War II veteran, served in the Air Force.